Question. Was Christ Jesus a humanitarian? Now, let me give you a working definition of what that means. Basically, I'm talking about a person. Humanitarians are people committed to improving the lives of other people. Was Jesus Christ committed to improving the lives of other people? Now, a lot of people, I think, would say, oh, yes, that's exactly what Christ was all about. That's why Jesus came to this earth. He came to this earth, he was committed to improving the lives of other people. In fact, that's what the church should be doing. The church needs to be involved in, committed to improving the lives of other people. But the question is, was Christ Jesus a humanitarian? Was Jesus a humanitarian? Now, several years ago, we have a church sign outside of our church, a billboard sign, and I'm always putting up controversial stuff on that sign just so cheap people, you know, will ride by and see it. I put things up like, if you're pretending, stop attending. Okay, if you're pretending, please just stay home. If you're pretending, stop attending. And so this time I put up on the sign, I said, you cannot be Christian and pro-choice. Now, this is a no-brainer. In other words, you cannot be, call yourself a Christian and be for the killing of unborn children. You just can't do it. Now, that doesn't mean you can't repent of a sin like that. You can't, if you had an abortion, you know, you can, yes, you can repent of a sin like that. But what I'm saying is, you cannot be Christian, call yourself a Christian, and be for the killing of unborn children. You just can't do it. So, what happened was, I got the nastiest letter on the front steps of the church I had ever seen. And it was a letter that basically said, you know, why are you condemning people's sins? Sort of a silly question when you think about it. I mean, I thought that was, you know, I thought by conviction of sin was the way that we came to Christ. First, we have to realize that we are a sinner and that we need forgiveness. And so conviction of sin is a very good thing that leads you to Jesus Christ. So, but anyway, this person was saying, well, look, you shouldn't be out there, you know, condemning people's sins, and you ought to be involved in good works. You ought to be involved in feeding the poor. You ought to be involved in all, there's all kinds of good things you could be doing, you know, feeding the hungry, helping the poor. And you ought to be doing that, and you should not be, you know, showing people their sins. Well, actually, I got a kick out of the letter, but anyway, it sort of proves my point that the idea that a lot of Christians have is that, you know, that Jesus was a humanitarian, and that's the role of the church. That's the role of the church. We ought to be about humanitarian works, committed to improving the lives of other people. Now, again, my question is, was Christ Jesus a humanitarian? What does Mother Teresa and Jesus Christ have in common? Actually, very little. On a larger scale, though, Jesus performed the greatest humanitarian effort ever. Now, what do I mean by that? How did he do that? Well, it was found in a message. It was found in one word. The word was repent. The Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent. You see, this one single act, repentance, would change the lives of all people and all nations. The greatest humanitarian effort was accomplished without so much as lifting a hand. It was found in a message, and the word was repent. You see, if I repent, the quality of my life will take care of itself. If I repent, my life will improve itself. If I repent, things will change in my life. If I repent. So if my life is not working, if your life is not working, what does that tell me? Well, it probably tells me there's something in my life called sin that I need to repent of, that I need to turn away from. That's the reason my life is not working. Well, don't we all understand the role of the law in our lives? The role of the law is to make our lives work. That's the purpose of the law, to make our lives work. And when our lives are not working, it's because we're breaking some kind of law. Spiritual law, physical law. You know, that's the reason our lives do not work. So the commandments were given to us by God to make our lives work. So it would seem to me that what is more important when it comes to the church is to get the message of repentance to the world. That's the greatest humanitarian act we could be involved in, to preach, repent. Repent of our sins. Listen, our society is a fix the symptom problem. You know, fix the symptom, that is. I mean, in other words, fix the symptom, but don't worry about the problem, you know. The symptom, though, is a sign that something more serious is going on. It really is. But all we ever worry about in our society was, just let me fix the symptom here. Let me just give you a temporary fix and everything will be okay. For example, you know, you have someone call the church that says, well, you know, I haven't worked in 3 years and I don't have any money. Well, maybe there's a reason you don't have any money. You haven't worked in 3 years. I mean, so, okay, what do we do as a church? You know, what do we do as good Christian people? Well, here, let me give you some money so I can fix the symptom. The problem is you haven't worked in 3 years. But that's all we ever do in our society. You know, we just worry about the symptoms. We never worry about the real problem. We had a call one time in our church. You know, a woman basically, you know, she had 3 children by 3 different men. None of the bums would pay child support. And she said, you know, my children are hungry and the Appalachian just cut off the heat. Can you help me? Well, how are you supposed to say no to something like that? You can't just say, oh, no, I'm not going to help you. And click, hang up the phone. No, I mean, how can you say no? How can you say no? And so as a church, you know, we fix the symptom. You know, we say, oh, well, let me write you a check so that you can cut on your electric bill and feed your children. Okay, well, the real problem is this woman is searching for a father's love that she never had. That's the real problem. In other words, the reason she goes from promiscuous relationship after promiscuous, this sexual relationship with this guy, this guy, this guy, is she's searching for a father's love that she never had. Well, how do you fix something like that? Well, you'd almost have to have a time machine and go back in time, go back to the family system. First of all, go back to the original husband, husband and wife who brought this woman into the world. You'd have to educate them. You'd have to teach them. You would have to teach them to take time for their children. You'd have to teach the father to take time. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. And, you know, you would have to teach the father, it's important for you. You know, we fathers send our daughters out protected by a father's love. And you'd have to educate him. And, you know, how do you change a dysfunctional family system? Well, you can't change it. You can't change it. And so all we do is we just fix the symptoms. Here, let me give you some money so you can fix that. You know, let me put this Band-Aid on this artery that's been severed. You know, blood is spurting out at every beat of the heart, and I come along with a little Band-Aid, and I say, let me put this on there. You know, we'll fix the symptom. We're not going to really fix the problem, but we're going to fix the symptom. And that's our society. Now, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ was absolutely not about fixing symptoms. With Christ, it was all or nothing at all. Notice what the Bible says. Let's take a look at what the Bible says, or what Jesus said here. He said, so likewise, this is found in Luke 14, verse 33. He says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he has cannot be my disciple. Man, that's serious business right there. I'll tell you it is. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You know, I mean, think about it here. What's Christ saying here? Basically, he's saying, look, until I get some kind of commitment from you, you know, I'm not going to be able to work with you until I get some kind of a commitment from you. And you see, here's the thing about we human beings. You know, there's a thing called human nature that has to be destroyed. And we come along with our human nature and we say, well, God, I want you to fix this little problem right here. You know, that's a little bitty problem. And God comes along and says, look, I might can fix that, but I'm not just worried about that little tiny thing. I want a full commitment from you. I'm not concerned about your little problem over there. I'm concerned about you. Head to toe, wingtip to wingtip. I want to rebuild you completely. And so a lot of times God does not intervene in our lives because there's no commitment. God wants to do a whole lot more than fix your little tiny problem of your little smoking addiction or your little financial situation. No, He wants total commitment, absolute and total commitment. Now, was Christ a humanitarian? Committed to improving the lives of other people. A lot of people think so. A lot of churches think so. Yeah, that's what Jesus was all about. He was just committed to improving the lives of other people. I mean, He would go around and He would take care of everybody. Okay, was He really a humanitarian? Well, let's notice something that happened here, an occasion here. Let's take a look at this. This is found in Matthew 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. I get this. I mean, have you ever pretended not to hear somebody? Oh, we do that all the time. Actually, it's one of the great benefits of getting older, you know. You can't hear good, you know. Huh? What'd you say? Huh? What? You know, that's actually a great benefit. But, you know, you ever pretend like you didn't hear? Now, I'm not saying Christ was doing that, but I think it's interesting. He answered her not a word. And now we're asking the question, was Christ a humanitarian? Did He always intervene in everybody's life, every problem that came to Him? Well, here he didn't answer her a word. Let's continue on. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. Boy, the disciples really had a bad attitude. Get her out of here. Get her away here. You know, get away from us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, this woman was persistent. But He answered and said unto her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Uh-oh. And she said, true, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered her and said unto the woman, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you, even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very moment. Oh, I tell you one thing, it's easy to overlook this. It was how this woman responded that got Jesus' attention. You know, had the woman responded differently, had the woman said, well, you're calling me a dog. I dare you to call me a dog. He would have just kept right on walking. And her daughter would never have been healed from her demon possession. We overlook this. God looks at how people respond. You know, now it's true that Jesus healed everyone that came to Him, but they had to come to Him. We overlook that fact. There were all kinds of people who were not healed. There were all kinds of people who heard about Jesus' miracles, who knew He could heal, and they heard the hearsay of that, but they didn't come to Him. Why? They didn't respond the right way. They didn't have the faith. Jesus healed the people that came to Him in faith. It's a matter of how you respond. You see, humanitarians don't care how people respond. A humanitarian will take care. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or it doesn't matter whether you got character or no character. It doesn't matter if you're a bum on the street. They don't care. Humanitarians will help anybody, anywhere, anytime. Jesus was a little bit different. It was an issue of how people responded to Him. How people respond. Don't overlook that. Critical point. It's an issue of how you respond. You know, people don't like being called a dog. People don't like being called a sinner either. You know, if I would have said to this woman that called the church, you know, the reason you can't feed your three children is because you're living in sin. You know, you've been with this guy, that guy, that guy. You're bringing children into the world right and left. That's the reason you can't feed your children, because you're living in sin. And how she responded to that would be critical. She might have just hung up. I dare you to call me a sinner. Or she might have said, you know, you're right. I have been living in fornication. I have been living in sin. And, you know, I'm trying to work this out. Can you help me? I've been asking for God's forgiveness. See, it's an issue. It's an issue of how you respond. You know what Jesus said? He said, don't give that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. No, don't give that which is holy unto the dogs. Don't cast your pearls before a bunch of pigs. You know, that's a pretty powerful statement there. And again, humanitarians don't care if you're a pig or whatever. They just don't care. They treat all people equally. Christ wasn't like that, though. It was an issue of how people responded to him. Humanitarians don't really care how people respond. I'll never forget a story. This actually happened about 5 or 6 miles from where I live. There was a woman who was a minister at a church, served a church as a minister. And it was a bum attending services. Now, I think he'd been coming there pretty regularly. But the church decided, out of the goodness of their heart, you know, there are Christian duty here, to take up a collection for this bum. And he got wind of it. He heard that they were taking up a collection for him. And so one night he showed up at the woman's home and wanted the money. And she said, no, I'm not giving it to you now. You'll have to wait till the board, you know, says okay or whatever. Well, he turned on her and brutally beat her to death. Killed her. They said the crime scene was really gory. You know, I'm telling you something. Don't listen to me. Never help the ungrateful person, okay? Never help an ungrateful person. My sister gave me some advice one time. She said, you know, she said, anytime you feel sorry for someone, run like H-E-L-L in the opposite direction. And I started thinking about that. I thought, well, you know, that might be good advice. And because I started thinking about, okay, why would someone want to make you feel sorry for them? Why would I want you to feel sorry for me? Unless I want something from you. You know, I come to you and I say, man, I tell you, I'm just down on my luck. I don't have no money. I'm broke. And, you know, what business, you know, what business is that? How you handle your finances, the fact that you don't have any money, what business is that of mine? I don't care how you handle your money. I don't care if you blow it and spend it and don't have any. That's not your finances is not my problem. But why would I want you to feel sorry for me? Unless I want something from you. I'm getting ready to drive the screws in real tight, you know. You know, that's pretty good advice. When you feel sorry for someone, now I know we need, as Christians, we need to have compassion. But if you will do this one thing, if you will ask the question, why is this person trying to make me feel sorry for them? You will be way ahead of the pack if you can just ask that one question. Okay, you're going to like this next story. This little incident nearly got Jesus killed. He came within an inch of his life. They tried to grab him, throw him off a cliff headlong, and kill him. It nearly got him killed. Let's take a look at what happened here. Luke 4 and verse 24. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, and to a woman that was a widow. Okay, you got to get the picture here. Land of Israel, great famine, 3.5 years, no food. You go to Walmart, no food. No grocery store, empty, all of them are. No food, 3.5 years. And God does a great humanitarian work. He goes to one woman. He sends Elias to one woman who was a widow. Wow, man, that's all he did? Why, I would have taken care of everybody. You know, that's how a humanitarian thinks, you know. They think, well, look, if I were God, I would feed all these people. I wouldn't have let that famine take, you know, in the last 3.5 years if I were God. Well, yeah, sure you would, yeah, if you were God. That's the reason you're not God. But now, let's notice what else happened here in this story. He continues on. He says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Uh-oh, get the picture. Leprosy, hideous, terrible disease. You can't feel your fingertip. You can't feel your skin. You know, you go around knocking it off and all. You know, it's a terrible disease. Many lepers were in the land of Israel, and none of them was cleansed except one. God did a great humanitarian work. He went to Naaman, a Syrian, and healed him. Well, that doesn't fit. I mean, I would have healed everybody. I would heal everybody if I were God. God should be a humanitarian. He should be taking care of everybody, right? No. It's all an issue of how you respond to God. Let's continue the story. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill wherein the city was built, that they may cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. You get the picture. They grabbed him. Tried to kill him. Tried to throw him off a cliff, head first. That's how they responded to what Jesus was saying. And again, I want to emphasize, it's a matter of how you respond. We got this illusion that, well, God should do, you know, he should just take care of us all. Well, how are you responding to God? That's a big question. Listen, God is not under no obligation to do anything for you if your attitude is wrong. He's under no obligation to do anything for you if you respond the wrong way, if your attitude is wrong. He's under no obligation. Don't ever forget that. Do not ever forget that. Because, you know, a lot of people are like that. You know, they go around, they say, you know, if I were God, I would take care of this problem, I'd take care of that problem, I'd take care of these people, I'd take care of that person. No, God looks a little bit deeper. He looks at the heart. He looks at the attitude of the heart. He looks at you. He looks at how you respond, whether you respond in faith or not. It's all an issue of how you respond. Listen, humanitarian efforts does not make us a Christian nation, okay? Now, a lot of people think that it does. Because we're involved in all of these humanitarian efforts, it makes us a Christian nation. No, good works, even though they may be good Christian deeds, you know, that's not what saves us, good works. And it doesn't make us a Christian nation. Now, I do believe that our humanitarian efforts has staved off the judgment of God upon our nation. Because we are a generous nation. We do help other nations when they have an earthquake, when they have, you know, tidal waves or whatever. America is the first one to be there to unload the money, unload the food stuff. So we are generous. And we have done a lot of humanitarian good, and that's a good thing. We will be rewarded according to our good works. But it doesn't make us a Christian nation. No, a real Christian is one that has repented of their sins, accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, been baptized, had hands laid upon them for the receiving of the Holy Spirit. That's a real Christian. Okay, so humanitarian efforts does not make us a Christian nation. And I tell you what I believe. I believe one of the ways people avoid repentance is through humanitarian efforts. In other words, it's called compensation. When one area is lacking, we overachieve in another area to make up for the void. So it's sort of like, you know, I don't know if I want to do this repentance thing, you know, because there's a lot of things I want to hold on to that I like and that I don't want to give up. So I don't really care about this repentance thing. But I tell you what I'll do. I'll be involved in all kinds of good works. You know, I'll serve the Boy Scout. I'll serve the Girl Scouts. I'll do this. I'll do that. Yeah. Yeah, I really believe that one of the ways people avoid repentance is through their humanitarian efforts. Now, you may be rewarded for your good works, but that's not what's going to save you, your good works. It's not going to save you at all. The church, listen to this, the church is not established for making this world a better place to live. Sorry, it's not. That's not the role of the church. The church is not a humanitarian effort committed to improving the lives of other people. I'm sorry, that's not the role of the church. The church is not established for fixing symptoms. That's not the role of the church. The church, you know, does not hand out condoms so people can have safe sex. You know, that's not the role of the church. God did not intend for the church to attack the monumental, impossible task of somehow establishing the kingdom of God on this earth by itself. Christ will take care of that when he returns. He'll take care of that part of establishing the government of God on this earth when he returns. The church's message is repent. It's all or nothing at all. Was Christ a humanitarian? No, he wasn't. Sorry, he wasn't. Jesus Christ's humanitarian efforts was found in one word that would make all people and all nations better. Jesus Christ's humanitarian efforts was found in one word. The one word is repent. And that's what's really in your Bible.